It's just gone 25 to 2. It's time for the winner's enclosure, into which we invite the kind of people who make stuff like this happen.
Listen to the roar! He's going to do it again! Pure, pure magic!
Oh! There's an obstruction to take!
This week, it's the Premier League and actually Belgian League title winner, Luke Chadwick, former Manchester United midfielder, has got an autobiography out called Not Just a Pretty Face, which charts his highs and lows in football. I asked, as ever, I started off by asking him what he first felt, when he first felt like a winner.
I think that in terms of sort of winning, when I reflected on that question, it would have been the times where I felt the most sort of intense joy, love, affection would have been the birth of my children. I thought about it in a sporting context, but in terms of sheer sort of jubilation, I think it would have been the most powerful feeling of winning achievement would have been the birth of my children.
That's an answer I've never had before, and That's brilliant. I hate to say sort of bot, but in the sporting context, as a footballer, were there any triumphs as a 9-year-old you can still remember and so on?
Yeah, I think in my first season, I think scoring my first goal in organised football, so the first time that I ever sort of hit the back of a net. There was proper goals that we used when I would have been 8 years old at the time, playing for a team called Melbourne Tigers, my first grassroots team, and playing against a team called St Thomas Colts, in which was in Royston. And I remember scoring a goal and a feeling
of...
Just
talk us through how it happened. I'm visualising the 8-year-old Luke.
Yeah, so it was back then, we were straight on to full-size pitches with full-size goals, even at sort of 8, 9 years old. I remember one of my teammates kicking the ball over the defender's head and sort of chasing after it, the goalkeeper coming out, but getting my toe to it first and then rolling it into the empty net. And it was still brings back wonderful memories now of that first ever time scoring a goal.
And You immediately developed an unslakable thirst for more.
Yeah, and I think as a young child, I was incredibly fast. So playing on such big pitches, I had the opportunity to sort of chase the ball over the little defenders' heads and score many a goal like that. And I remember in my first season playing football in under-9s football, I scored 104 goals, which I think was a bit of a record back then, and sort of had my name in the local paper called the Royston Crow, and sort of many of headline as a young child, which of course gave me a huge amount of confidence to then continue trying to develop and keep getting better at football.
And did you knew you were scoring goals, but did you see yourself as a good player? How good did you feel you were at that age?
I think I certainly recognised that I was so much faster than everyone else. And I think that's them really positive or success in them early years of scoring so many goals gave me real confidence to then, I just wanted to play football all the time. And I think that amount of time playing football with my friends, playing on my own in the back garden, sort of allowed me to hone them techniques better just by the amount of hours that I was playing football. And as sort of 9, 10, 11, just really accelerate my development, where I think if I didn't have that real early success in playing the game, I probably wouldn't have had that sort of confidence to then continue to practice and practice and to keep improving.
So when did the professional game sort of come calling? What was your first taste of that? I think you had a trial at Cambridge, didn't you, which was the club you supported?
Yeah, so I went in at Cambridge when I was 10 years old. I had sort of free training sessions there at an indoor venue called Bottisham Village College. And I remember at the end of the third week, they told me that they wouldn't be inviting me back. And that was sort of the end of a trial, which really broke my heart as a 10-year-old kid. I remember on the same evening, I had Cubs on the same night, and my mum used to always take me back and drop me at Cubs. And I remember going in and I was in tears after getting that news that the team that I sort of loved, Cambridge United, I used to go to all the games, and the fact that they didn't want to take me really, I can still remember those sort of feelings of heartache now.
And how did you express that? I mean, I'm always incredibly impressed that anybody bounces back for that. That was me. I emphatically would have completely given up and probably never even played football again, let alone tried to be a professional. But who did you share your sorrow and disappointment with, apart from your mum, presumably?
But probably nobody. Probably just sort of got back on, and because I went straight back playing within my grassroots team and again kept scoring goals and goals and goals, which sort of built my confidence back up. And then as the years went on, I think when I was 12, I went and had a trial at Norwich City, at Ipswich Town, and both teams were keen to sign me, but because of how far away it was from my house in Cambridge, sort of the journey that it would have took my parents, my family to get there, that I couldn't go there. Then I remember under 13, I did sign School of Excellence forms for Arsenal, where it was slightly easier to get to because they used to train at Highbury during the week, and I could get a train from where I lived, the little village in Meldrift, to Finsbury Park, and it made it a lot easier. So I spent a season playing with Arsenal, but probably a fantastic football club, but didn't enjoy it that much. I was a very sort of shy, introverted young boy and found it really uncomfortable sort of mixing with other people, to go into playing with other kids that were from the London area, and probably didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would, and sort of many a time would make up that I had a bad tummy ache or a headache to my mum, so I didn't have to go. I always loved playing in the games at the weekend, but really didn't enjoy the training during the week.
But that was more for social reasons than the football training aspect of it, because there's more socialising, there's more social interaction involved with training, I take it.
Yeah, without a doubt. It was not obviously in a game. You just go there, you get dropped off, you play the game. In training, it was slightly different. And I remember sort of while I was at Arsenal, I was scoring a lot of goals within the Cambridge Schools team. And that's when I first got scouted by Ray Medwell, who's the man that started a scout at Manchester United that started my journey, came and watched me. And then I received a letter in the post inviting me up to Manchester for a trial at the school holidays to spend 5 days up there, which as a young person with a sort of watched Manchester United play back then and all the young players that were coming through with the class of 92 and whatnot, it was something that really excited me and something I was absolutely buzzing about to go up there. But as the trial drew closer, sort of those same sort of fears and sort of social anxiety that I got going to Arsenal came, and I got to a point where I thought, I don't really want to go here. I don't want to sort of go up to Manchester. I'll never be good enough to play for a team like that anyway. And it took a sort of a pep talk by my mum to sort of talk me into it. And I ended up getting the train up there, and it was the best thing that I ever done.
I think, you know, shyness really fascinates me. It's just, I mean, how people like you overcome it. Because I suppose a cynic might say, look, you suffer from shyness, you're unassuming. I think I read that you got a slight speech impediment. Yet you might say, well, you can't have been that shy because you got over it, you know, to go to Arsenal, to go to Manchester as a young kid. I mean, I wasn't particularly shy as a kid, but that would have terrified me. But, you know, how did you overcome it? I'm just so full of admiration for sort of how you gritted your teeth and did it.
Yeah, I think like when I went up to Manchester, I had great sort of fear about doing it, but it was how I was treated which changed everything for me. That I was made to feel so comfortable. Like all the coaches, everyone I spoke to was so enthusiastic. They seemed so pleased to see me, and I just felt part of something incredibly special from the outset in terms of my own sort of shyness. As soon as I felt sort of comfortable within a situation with the people I was with my peers, then I would overcome that shyness and I felt comfortable and was able to express myself. And I was able to feel like that so quickly at Manchester United because of the environment and sort of the culture that I was exposed to there.
And were you coming out of yourself? Were you feeling less socially awkward?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think I could always do that as soon as I felt comfortable. And I, like I say, because I was able to feel comfortable because of the way that I was treated at Manchester United, that from that first 2-3 days of being there, I fell in love with the place and I was desperate to do enough within that trial for them to sign me as a player.
And what was your trajectory like there? I mean, very few sail straight into the first team. How long did it take you to get your chance?
Yeah, so I signed there as a 14, 15-year-old schoolboy. And when I left school, I moved up to Manchester full-time and was by no means one of the best players in my age group. I think what I did was I worked incredibly hard, but technically there was a lot of players that were better than me. But because of that sort of hard work that I put in, I was able to catch that up and sort of went on loan as a 18-year-old boy to Royal Antwerp out in Belgium, where I spent 7 months out there having my first experience.
I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, especially for a shy kid to go off to Belgium, which at that age you probably couldn't have pointed to it on a map.
Yeah, and to be fair, I felt so much more comfortable there because it just felt different. Like, because obviously I didn't speak the language, it felt like I could just sort of be under the radar a little bit. There was a couple of other of my teammates I was good friends with that were out there as well, and sort of settled in very quickly. I think I was at a point at Manchester United when I was playing in the reserves at that point and was a long, long way away from the first team. But that sort of period of time at Royal Antwerp gave me a huge amount of confidence. It was the first time I'd ever played in front of the crowd. The crowd seemed to take to me the way that I played. It was the first time a crowd had ever sung my name. And as a 18, 19-year-old boy, as you can imagine, that gave me so much sort of belief and confidence in myself that when I went back to Manchester United, that was when I was in and around the first team for a period of time.
There's something really interesting you wrote about. You were part of the team that won the league at Antwerp. And you were carried, there was a picture of you in the paper, and you were carried off the pitch on, you know, by fans on their shoulders. And yet you said you didn't feel part of it. You said something really interesting. You said, I find it difficult to celebrate a team victory. So what's that all about? That's interesting.
Yeah, I've always felt, even as a child, when we'd win a cup, win the league, I always felt uncomfortable with it. Like, I could never sort of really enjoy the moment, let myself go in that moment. And it was the same as a professional player at Antwerp when we won the league and sort of the fans come on the pitch, and it just didn't feel pure joy or anything like that. The same when I was lucky enough to win the league with Manchester United and on the pitch and got to lift up the Premier League trophy, but didn't probably always felt that I wasn't a massive part of it, if that makes sense. Like, it's still, obviously, particularly with Manchester United, they still would have won the league that season if I wasn't playing. And I just never, in a footballing sort of situation of winning something, it was never a feeling of pure joy that I got from it.
But, you know, it's an odd way to think about it, isn't it? Because unless your name's Pele or Ronaldo, you know, there's very few players who can say, look, if I hadn't been here, they wouldn't have won this title. I don't know. I do wonder, maybe you would have been happier in a solo sport, have you ever considered that, then when it's all about you? Golf, tennis, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really considered that. I don't think I was ever any good at any other sports apart from football. And it wasn't a case of, but I don't look back on it with regret that I couldn't feel that. I just think it was part of my makeup. I think the feeling was more of relief, like that I'd been part of it, more than joy that we'd won a cup, won a thing. And as I say, it wasn't like, it was the same as a child when I'd be a main part of the team scoring all the goals, but just never could let myself really go and enjoy that moment fully.
And I mean, we need to talk about this business about your appearance and, you know, prominent teeth and so on. And I mean, it's just awful. But, you know, it seems to me the way you write about it, that it didn't really strike you as awful at the time. It was only retrospect you realised it was awful and it was affecting you.
Yeah, I think it was that everyone goes through challenges, everyone sort of deals with things in different ways. And in my respect, in the case of when people were talking about my appearance, I just couldn't deal with it internally. I think the biggest problem that I had was the way that, because it made me feel so much shame, so much embarrassment, and so much embarrassment that I couldn't verbalise it or talk about it to anyone. And my sort of self-dialogue, the way that I spoke to myself about it, was particularly unkind, where it wasn't a case I wouldn't give myself sort of time to deal with it. It was just always just pull yourself together, just put it to the back of your mind, don't think about it. And without doubt, obviously the things that were said weren't right and were probably unfair to a 19, 20-year-old boy, but the challenges that I suffered from it was down to me, because I couldn't deal with that situation in a positive way. It was always never wanting to talk about it, always just shutting myself away from it, which when you do that, you don't front up and deal with a situation, it's hard to then sort of get through it in a well thought out way.
And then when all the apologies started coming from Nick Hancock and I think Gary Lineker for stuff that had been said on They Think It's All Over, you know, which feels like sort of typical you. You then found that mortifying and felt a bit embarrassed about that then.
I felt a bit guilty, because when I originally said about it back in lockdown, it was sort of a message, because we were going through sort of a period of complete uncertainty in the lockdown period. It was sort of everyone's mental health would have been fluctuating, I'm sure, within that period, and saying when I went through challenges with my mental health is because that I couldn't talk about them, and that is the best avenue if you're able to do it. It wasn't about individuals that have maybe said stuff about me in the past. I didn't want that to be the message, because that wasn't the message that I was trying to portray. And but again, probably a bit naively, that was what was picked up a lot within the media.
It strikes me that era, this great era for Man United, there were two kinds of players that left Man United, and there were those for whom football was never the same again when they weren't playing for United, and there were those who took everything they'd learnt at Man United and put it to good use for their own benefit in their future career and for the benefit of the clubs that had signed them. And you seem to be in the latter category to me.
Yeah, I think I'd be forever grateful for Manchester United to be sort of involved in the squads that I was and the lessons that I was able to learn. I mean, I wasn't able to be a hugely successful player at Manchester United, play hundreds and hundreds of games for them, but the lessons that I learned there allowed me to have a career in professional football. Obviously, not at the highest level, but I mean, really, really proud of the career that I had, because that's what my dream was as a child, to be a professional footballer. So to have done that for 18 years, and I don't think that would have been possible without the sort of the upbringing that I had at Manchester United.
So which bits would you point to as the ones you enjoyed the most? I played an awful lot of games for MK Dons and, you know, at West Ham and at Stoke and stuff, and Cambridge, the team you'd supported as a kid. What are your treasured moments from there?
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely loved every club that I played for, and sort of there was obviously highs and lows at every club. MK Dons was a team that I was at for a long time, worked for some brilliant people, Pete Winkleman, the chairman, the managers that I worked with, Roberto Di Matteo, Paul Ince, Carl Robinson, had a fantastic time there. Probably the proudest part of my career was going back to play for the club that I supported as a child. I think Cambridge United were the reason that I fell in love with football, going to watch them at the Abbey Stadium as a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old boy, and then to be able to do what I always dreamed of doing as a schoolboy, of representing the club and scoring at the Newmarket Road end, the stand that I used to stand in as a kid. And that was probably the highlight, or the proudest I've ever felt playing football, doing something that I'd always dreamed of doing.
Mm-hmm. And that is up there in your own head with winning a Belgian title and winning a Premier League title. That doesn't feel any less significant to you.
No, I think the main reason for that is because it came towards the end. I sort of knew that my football career was, I didn't have long left playing. I think as a young player, as a kid coming through, you can sort of maybe not appreciate things like that as much, because you think it's always going to happen. Obviously, both winning the Premier League, winning the Belgian First Division are stuff that I'm incredibly proud of. But the power of doing what I did at Cambridge at the end of my career is something that really does sort of stick in the mind as a real highlight.
Mm. And, I mean, you started out by saying your greatest winning moment was when your kids were born. What have been the winning moments with your kids as they've grown up? I mean, they've both got into football, haven't they?
Yeah, I think regardless of anything of to in sort of sport, in football, the moments that sort of see, obviously seeing your children growing up, doing something they love is very special. But the people that they are is what I'm most proud of them. Whatever they do or they don't achieve within the football arena makes no odds to me in terms of how they are as human beings, which for anyone is the most important thing. And my wife and I are so proud of the young men that they are today, and hopefully continue to grow and develop in the months and years to come.
I mean, I've read the book, and you talk all the way through from an early age of your shyness and avoided social interactions. I mean, it seems to me that you've conquered that now. You know, just listening to you talk. I mean, are you still churning up inside, or have you found a way through it?
No, I've found a way through it, and I think sort of the challenges that I talk about in the book, obviously at the time were horrible, but when I reflect and look back now, they're things that forced me to develop as a human being, to force me to learn about myself. What was a real challenge for me is a real lack of emotional intelligence, a real unable to be vulnerable, because in my mind that made me a weak human being. And I think going through them challenges that I did allowed me to learn about myself and go on through this journey of life, continuing to learn about myself and understanding that I can open up, I can talk about my feelings, and certainly taken away a lot of the shyness. I still get a little bit like that in some social interactions, but know how to deal with it now, and sort of have learned a huge amount about myself throughout my footballing career.
And if there's one winning moment from your whole career that'll always stay with you, keep you warm on a cold winter's night, what would it be?
I think it would be my first goal for Cambridge United against Southport in the National League at the Newmarket Road end. Is something that it was my fantasy to do that as a 6-year-old child. So to then do it at 33 or 34 years old, and to have that in my sort of memory forever is something that is certainly the one thing that I'll never forget.
That was Luke Chadwick, and it was a real pleasure speaking to him. His biography is called Not Just a Pretty Face. I found that really fascinating.